Dick Bidnick, the nastiest man alive, never let the idea of suing somebody stray far from his nasty thoughts. He was a lawyer and knew all the ins and outs of suing somebody, always knew what to sue for, how much to sue for, when to sue, who to sue. He once sued a popular fast food chain for not putting a "caution, sporks may cause injury" sign in an area where there was such a hazard. The fast food chain settled out of court, and Dick Bidnick claimed himself another victory. No one had ever actually hurt themselves on a spork, mind you, but that didn't matter to Dick. He was that good at suing. He had even sued the Beatles for jaywalking on the cover of Abbey Road, because it perhaps emboldened delicate senior citizens to do the same. And he was just as good at spinning yarns of past lawsuits to anyone who would sit and listen. He was spinning just such a yarn when something happened which would end his suing days forever. He was sitting in the bar of the cruise ship Truant with his two potential partners in business, whose last names were Gregson and Montgomery, at about 3 p.m. The business Dick Bidnick was considering going into was selling bootlegged popular movies overseas. He could make such a career move because of all the money he'd collected over the years suing people. Dick was telling his potential partners about the time he sued the ASPCA for discriminating against spiders when the Truant, which at that time held about 1,500 passengers and was just now turning to head home across the Caribbean to Florida, began to be steadily rocked by gusty winds and perilously strong waves, the result of a hurricane that had been approaching since noonish. Dick and his potential partners hung on at the bar until the storm, whose eye happened to pass right over the Truant, caused the hull to rip open like a cheap piñata and scatter wood and metal and iron in all directions. Just as Dick Bidnick was shouting to his potential partners about how he was going to sue the Truant and everyone on it, the ship's emergency siren rang out. Dick and Gregson and Montgomery got into one lifeboat of 90 and rowed away as fast as they could. The Truant sank. Soon all those lifeboats were drifting across the Caribbean, waiting to be picked up and taken home. Almost all of these lifeboats were rescued with little or no delay. However, in the aftermath of the hurricane, the boats had been scattered in different directions, making it impossible for the Coast Guard to find all of them immediately. Dick Bidnick was wondering out loud if it was possible to sue somebody for just such a coincidence when he happened to look around in the lifeboat he shared with Montgomery and Gregson and saw nothing but sky in all directions. Though his boatmates tried to assure him that it wouldn't be much longer before they were rescued, Dick, somewhat of a pessimist by nature, panicked and became hysterical. He was convinced they would dehydrate and die within 3 days under that shimmering Caribbean sun. They'd each grabbed a few canteens of water from the Truant's emergency kits before jumping into the lifeboats, but Dick knew they wouldn't last. As it happened, Dick was, as he was so often, correct in his assumptions. 12 hours later, they had drunk most of their water and lay slug-like on the lifeboat. Dick drifted into an unchallenging daze, which brought him essentially two ideas. The first, to sue the makers of the emergency kits for not including enough canteens, and the second, to strangle his potential business partners as they slept, so that he could have the water in theirs. Being the nastiest man alive, Dick opted for the second idea, and shortly, he found himself sharing a lifeboat with two dead potential partners and a few extra canteens of water. Dick drank water and slept. No rescue boats came. He woke up to find the lifeboat gone and himself lying on a sandy, muggy beach. The beach was about 10 feet wide and was completely bare of any objects but Dick himself. Instead of thanking the heavens for waking upon sturdy ground, Dick panicked again. Then he fainted. His life at this point became a steady montage of sleeping and panicking, broken only by wondrous daydreams of a faraway land governed by an elfin king. The name of this faraway land was Suing Somebody, and the king was called Now. If he could only reach this glistening paradise, Dick reasoned through his stupor, he would never stop suing people. But he still had priorities. First and foremost among them was getting water and food. He looked in all directions and saw nothing but sky and clear blue ocean. That ocean was as pure as the stuff Dick had often seen on TV commercials for medications with terrible side effects. Dick had tried to sue a pharmaceutical company once, back when life was fine and food and water were in plenty. Dick slept some more and dreamed his nasty dreams. In none of these dreams did he see the two potential partners whom he had strangled in order to survive. He had, in fact, nearly forgotten about these two men in his fantasies of sustenance. The sun baked his brains and made him believe that their names had been Wink and Link. He'd begun to go quite insane. In due course, he woke up and beheld a tiny island, 100 yards in the distance. The island was no bigger than the one on which he lay now, but this island did have two interesting features which Dix lacked entirely: a coconut tree and a tall plastic bottle of Gatorade Zero Lemon Lime. Dick had by this time forgotten what the word mirage meant, and instantly took the island at face value. He judged that he could probably swim the 100 yards to the island without too much difficulty, and crawled to the water's edge and rolled in. He was off, donkey paddling his way to island number two. The sight of that coconut tree ripe with fruit made his mind go silly, and he didn't paddle so fast at first. Dick sped up when he felt a nip at his left foot, which he could actually see through the translucent water. Figuring he had encountered some nipping fish, he hesitated just long enough to kick it blindly away, then doggy paddle forward again. The island grew closer in Dick's vision, and soon enough, he was there, crawling up onto his new beach thirstily. It was about this time that the concept of mirages came back to Dick, and he despaired. But when he extended a hand toward the bottle of Gatorade Zero Lemon Lime, he did indeed feel a plastic bottle with a deliciously cool surface. Dick laughed and jumped for joy. He landed badly and dislocated a toe, but he didn't care. He gulped down the Gatorade and felt alive again. The next problem was the coconut tree. The coconuts themselves were at least 12 feet over Dick's head, and he didn't really have enough strength left to do any climbing. Then Dick came up with the greatest idea he'd ever had, greater even than his 1999 decision to sue his next-door neighbor for leaving presidential campaign bumper stickers too long on his station wagon. Dick reasoned that one good toss of the Gatorade bottle might connect with the coconuts in question and send them cascading down upon him. Dick was right again. On his first try, the bottle scored a touchdown, and he was instantly pelted by 3 ripe coconuts. One of them landed on his dislocated toe, but he didn't care. The coconuts had even magically split in two so he wouldn't have to gnaw at them for hours. He ate heartily, looking at the cool blue ocean. When he was finished eating, he happened to look down at his dislocated toe, which was becoming more painful. He realized it wasn't the dislocation so much that was giving him trouble. It was the fact that most of the toe was completely gone. It appeared to have been ripped off somehow. Droplets of blood dotted Dick Bidnick's sandy heaven. Oh well, Dick thought. A man can't have everything. He slept and dreamed. Time became somewhat of an illusion, and nobody came for Dick. His toe stopped bleeding, but soon he needed food and water again, and just where the hell was he supposed to get it? His old island was still barren. He could see it from where he lay. He dreamt of a pretty young woman kneeling down in the sand and offering him soup. When he had drunk the soup, the woman took his dirty bowl and gave him her card. She was with the firm of Harris and Petroniak, she said, and had a pretty good idea just who to sue for this whole mess. Dick woke up at some meaningless point and beheld a shimmering dawn lovelier than he had ever known. And even lovelier was his old island 100 yards away, because it was now home to a tall can of Celsius sparkling kiwi guava and a coconut tree laden with good eats. Dick flopped into the water again and began to doggy paddle his way back to island number one. What great fortune! What amazing adventures life sometimes offered! Dick grew very tired about 50 yards out and wished for a brief nap so that he would have some strength to finish his journey. He let himself drift for a moment, lying on his back. He even let the little nipping fish nip at his calves underneath the surface of the water. A bit of missing skin was a small price to pay for some rest. Only when the water around him began to be stained a reddish purple did Dick resume his doggy paddling and pick up the pace. About 20 yards away from the island, he was yanked underneath the water. Dick screamed. There were 2 nipping fish, he saw. One of them had its jaws clamped tightly around Dick's ankle and was pulling hard. Flesh and blood floated away gently through the water. The other fish kicked its tail once, sending itself forward in a burst of speed. This fish closed its gaping mouth on the tip of Dick's left pinky. The pinky tip came off immediately, and the fish retreated, chewing grotesquely. Dick yelled under the water, but it did no good. No one could hear him. The fish were about 6 feet long, thin and gray. Their heads were flat, like snakes. They had no ears, but their mouths revealed razor-sharp teeth in tightly packed rows. The eyes were the strangest things. They were completely human, right down to the bags of skin underneath them and the protruding eyebrow ridges. Dick saw that one of the fish was Wink, and the fish that had taken his pinky tip was Link. You could tell by the eyes. "Hoodlums," Dick commented as he flailed about in self-defense. "Stop eating me. All deals are off." Winkfish ripped away an impressive chunk of Dick's inner thigh and retreated, whipping its tail this way and that. Linkfish made another grab for Dick's hand, but Dick was gone by then, paddling faster and faster through the water, leaving a trail of murky blood behind him. "Rotten little fishies," Dick said as he neared his old island, his old home. "Gonna be some lawsuits when I get back to Tampa." Finally, he was there, reaching for the Celsius sparkling kiwi guava and upending it, drinking everything down. The pain from Dick's legs was enormous until the cramps from drinking the water too fast kicked in. Then Dick was in agony. He rolled around on the island and wept. "Gonna sue ya!" he cried to the brilliant blue sky, shaking his fists. "Look out!" Dick hurled his empty can at the coconut tree and scored another touchdown. 3 more coconuts fell. One landed on his head and knocked him out cold, which is all Dick could have asked for. Gone was the pain. Gone was the bloody river that oozed from his legs. He was back in his fairyland again, chatting amiably with the elfin king. Dick slept like no man has ever slept. When he awoke, the brilliant blue sky was back, and his throat was on fire. Somewhere in his haze, he had eaten the 3 coconuts he saw. He wished he could remember what it felt like to eat those coconuts, but he'd missed out. He reminded himself to be awake and aware the next time he had a fine meal. He needed a fine meal right now, as a matter of fact, and something to wash it down with before he died of dehydration. Over on island number 2, more coconuts had grown on his personal tree, and someone had been nice enough to put a bottle of Mountain Dew Major Melon there for him. Dick would have sung the Belgian national anthem and Rock Me Amadeus if he'd had the strength. He was so happy. He started to crawl toward the water, but stopped when he saw Winkfish and Linkfish swimming around halfway between the two islands. Their dorsal fins rose above the water's surface, just like in that movie Dick once saw, and intended to bootleg for profit. "Poopers," Dick observed. "Nasty little fishies." Dick went into the water and waited. Immediately, Winkfish and Linkfish began to swim toward him, amazingly fast. Dick crawled back onto his island and began to cry. He was in an awful lot of pain again. He knew he had no choice but to swim for the other island and the Major Melon and the coconut tree. He tried again. This time it wasn't so bad. Dick didn't see Winkfish or Linkfish in the water. Their dorsal fins were nowhere in sight. Gaining confidence, Dick doggy paddled with a little more energy. They set on him just 15 yards from the second island. Winkfish waited until Dick's face dipped below the water, and then it made its lunge. Winkfish's jaws sank into his right cheek and ripped it away. Dick's entire head was jerked to one side with the force of the attack. Beneath him, Linkfish grabbed a hold of his submerged hand and opened his wrist. Again, the current turned red. Dick shrieked, and the sun burned into his eyes.
"Psychological trauma,"
he yelled just before his mouth filled with warm red water.
"Lost wages."
Winkfish and Linkfish tore apart the rest of what was below Dick's waist. By the time he reached the second island, he was in no condition to enjoy his soothing Major Melon, and by no means did he have the energy to release the coconuts from their bond atop his tree. It didn't matter much anyway. This time, the cap on the soda bottle was on too tight for his one good hand to remove. He looked back at the 100 yards he just swum and saw the sharks circling, waiting for him to try again. There was more sustenance on the other island again, he saw. That was fast. But he thought he might wait a good long time before he went back into the water again. Wink and Link didn't sleep much, apparently.
"Silly," Dick Bidnick remarked to the sea as he bled.
He wanted to crawl around some, just to confirm to himself that he still could, but he was afraid he might lose his balance and tumble into the water, where the sharks would get him. He didn't like the sharks much, but they weren't going away. Their dorsal fins stayed above the surface of Dick's island oasis. Dick focused his eyes a little and saw what had happened to the other island. It was somewhat farther away now. Just about 20 yards difference, not too much. But even from here, Dick could see that instead of a cold, refreshing soda, all that had been left for him was a 6-ounce styrofoam cup with hot steam rising from it. And the coconut tree was taller. A lot taller. That shouldn't have happened. That wasn't exactly fair. Dick drew a subpoena in the sand beside him with a stick, and the tide rubbed it out again. Dick let his face inch nearer to the water's edge, and he saw his pallid reflection in it. That is, he thought it was his pallid reflection, but no matter how terrible he felt, he surely could not have grown sharp teeth and a snout. It was Linkfish, who had swum within inches of Dick's island. Dick rolled over to get away from that nasty thing. He looked at Linkfish and whispered under his breath at it. "Fishy, fishy," said Dick. "Eating me up." Linkfish looked back at Dick for a moment, then turned its tail and scooted away, back toward its partner, who was still circling the island. Dick thought he might try for the other one sometime near sunset, if they ever went to sleep. Just about 120 yards away. Dick counted backwards from 120, just for something to do, and he had almost made it to the upper 90s before he fainted yet again. Out there in the glorious blue water, the sharks circled each other, nipping at each other's tails playfully. There was no reason to head for deeper areas. If their instincts were correct, there would be plenty to eat between these two islands for as long as this bountiful sea existed.